Hello, good evening, and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about calls for reduced TB eradication scheme costs, success for Irish farmers at the World Ploughing Championships, and the latest livestock prices. Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with the Farming Independent, first with the Farming News and Views every Tuesday. First of all, though, let's look at what's going on for the hill farmers. I've been speaking with IFA National Hill Committee Chairman Pat Dunn. Welcome to the programme, and if we're talking about the Hillman, well, I suppose Glass will come into the conversation somewhere along the lines. It's certainly been an interesting year. Progress has been made, and I think it's important and fair to say that the Independent Commonage Implementation Committee, its establishment, has been key, and we are beginning to go in the right direction.
Yes. Now, as you say, it has been an interesting year and has been divisive, but at least now farmers who went into Glass, who signed up to Glass, will be, you know, they will be able to draw down 3 months' payment for this year. And for farmers who are on, you know, the max of 5,000, well, for the year, that will be a payment of 1,250 euros, which is always welcome. It's a long way short of where we were under the REPS payments when they were going, but sure, it's better than AOS that followed REPS, so we're not going to get back up to REPS, but however, sure, we're trying to get the best we can out of this one.
And going forward, the feeling would be, I suppose, that some latitude must be given so that all commonage farmers have an opportunity to join Glass.
Yes, well, that's one thing that we've kept drumming at the minister and his officials all the time. We need flexibility. That has to be a flexible approach, because hill farming is very difficult or very different than any other type of farming. There's all sorts of ownership issues, grazing rights. You know, there's farmers grazing in common with other people. You know, sharing the same land that they're grazing on. And there's a lot of different issues come up there. So that's why we've kept harping at them all the time about flexibility. It's a must.
Now, a number of other areas of interest in terms of TAMS, and I know John Linsky, your colleague, has been on to the minister to reinstate grant aid for sheep fencing, for example, in the new scheme. Can you see that happening?
I'm pretty hopeful that it will happen. We're pretty hopeful that it will happen. We couldn't understand why it was left up or why it was left out, because fencing is always very important, an important tool for, you know, management tool for anybody to have. And particularly if you've commonages, you know, there's lots of commonages around the country and there's public roads running through them. And, you know, it's really a health and safety issue, because you can't have stock wandering around the roads. You want to have them fenced in, at least, you know, in secured off the roads. And you don't want them getting killed by cars either. So we couldn't understand why that was taken out of it. And we've been fighting with them to try to get that put back in. We're fairly hopeful that it will be put back in, but you know, you're never sure until it's actually there.
Yeah. And another issue that's come up in recent times, I suppose, the importance of allowing sheep farmers with another enterprise to draw down a full payment under the knowledge transfer scheme. What way do you see that going?
Yeah, that's something too that it's difficult to see why they went that way. You know, there's many hill farmers who would have a few suckler cows along with the sheep enterprise. And some of them would have been in BTAP, that's the beef knowledge transfer, and STAP would have been in both. And under the new one now, it will be just, you'll have to decide which one you want to go for. It will be only one. It won't be two schemes. It'll be just the one.
Now, another topic that came up recently at a County Donegal executive meeting, Tim O'Leary, the Deputy President of the IFA, was speaking about invasive species and grant aid that is available. And I know there are a number of examples down the country, including the Burn. Perhaps you can explain to us a little bit about how this is going to work, and it's a case of groups coming together.
Yes, well, that's what's known as a target, locally led targeted output scheme. You know, where a group of people would come together, a local group, and just similar to what the people in the Burn in County Clare did. You know, they saw the need for trying to do something to counteract the problem that was happening down there when the stock was taken off of the Burn with the the hazels were taken over the place over, and they recognised that the cattle needed to be got back in. The same way, in many areas, we know the Hill Farming Committee knows that there's areas of mountain that's has got out of control, because burning in the year 2000, up till the year 2000, you could burn vegetation up till the 15th of April. And then under the directive was passed through our own Dáil, we weren't allowed to burn then beyond the 1st of March. And March, the end of March, first 2 weeks of April, were always traditional burning times. And that had a big effect. And heather has got out of control in many of the hills, and the sheep are not staying on them and don't want to graze that old woody semi-heather. So we have been looking at that, and the minister put 70 million aside for locally led targeted output schemes. Now, there's a number of things that they have to look after. Like the Burn, obviously, will be in there automatically. The Pearl Mussel, there's two Pearl Mussel sites that has to be, that's to comply with European rules. And the hen harrier has to be looked after. So, you know, it's disappointing that the pot of money is not bigger, because while 70 million might look a good deal of money, it's over 5 years. That's about 14 million per year. And there's four or five things there that have to be looked after, that, you know, the department have to look after. And then apparently they're going to look at a few other, and there will be only pilot areas. While we'd like to see it rolled out more so than that, you know, for people who would want to go into it. And it would be a great way to get mountains and areas that has, you know, where there has, things hasn't been going right, but to get them back in and let the local people have a good say in how to do that.
So if there are farmers here in Donegal listening to this and think that maybe they can see an opportunity here, what should be their first step?
The first step is to get a local group together. I'm living in Wicklow, and I've been involved with Wicklow Uplands Council for a long time. And we were the first ones to start looking at that. We went down to the Burn on an invitation we got in 2011. And we looked at that, and we began to sure why couldn't it be extended outside of the Burn. And we put a report, we put a lot of work and effort into getting a report put together. But it has to be driven locally. You know, it has to be local groups, and identify what's needed in a local group. What suits here in Wicklow, maybe a lot of it would suit in Donegal, but at the same time, there could be some different issues. Mm. And likewise with, you know, some of Connemara and Mayo, places like that. So I think the targeted output scheme is a good way of going ahead, but it needs a lot more funding than has been put there at this stage, because the loss, all of the national schemes that put there, they're always a one-size-fits-all, and you know, they don't suit everybody. It can be difficult for some people to fit into them.
Now, the department, you know, recently there's been talk of The early rollout of the targeted agri-environment scheme for upland areas, and you know, this is seen as being a real priority.
Yes, well, they're talking about that for a good while, but we still haven't got a date for when they're going to do it, unfortunately. They're still seem to be not too sure how they're going to build the scheme. We're told that they're holding a workshop and they're going to invite people in and let people, you know, to get ideas from the people. So it's really up to people if they're interested in it for to get, if the workshop comes up, obviously we'll get the word around to people if the workshop comes up, and it will be up to people to get into it. They'll need to get a local group of their own put together, you know, a structured group that would be able to somehow administer any scheme like that that may come up.
Now, the budget is looming, and the IFA, of course, like the other farm organisations, has done a lot of lobbying and put forward various ideas. From the Hill Committee's viewpoint, can you expect some goodies this time around?
Well, I suppose, you see, the Minister announced a lot of things, but really, the funding has to be put there this time out of this budget. That's number one priority.
And the IFA has definitely made the point that, you know, we've been through difficult times and the farming sector has certainly played its part in reaching targets and exceeding them. And maybe, you know, there should be a little bit more payback for the agricultural sector from the Exchequer.
Yes, well, that's obviously, you know, that's self-evident. Farming really, you know, played a big part in the economic recovery of this country. And hill farming is something that delivers a huge public good and sometimes for overlooked, because, you know, if we keep our mountains in the proper shape that they should be in, not let them get out of control, we have so much walking, so many hill walkers now, and such recreational use on the hills. They're a huge asset to the country, and the amount of tourists that come in for the hill walk in Ireland, you know, they bring a huge amount of money into the country. And I think it's very, very important that hill farming is looked after and that young farmers can see a future in it and see, you know, see a living to be made at it and be able to stay on it, because it is a young fella's or ladies' job. There's no two ways about that. It's not for older people. It's not simple work.
Yeah. Now, as you've mentioned, you're based down in Wicklow, and the whole tourism-related walks and trails, and we've talked about greenways and over former track beds of railways. Donegal, in terms of mountains, a little bit similar to Wicklow, and as you've said, you know, this is an area of considerable potential. And if we look at it carefully, manage it correctly, it could bring vital income into rural areas.
It certainly could. And, you know, if we can keep farmers farming in the upland areas, it keeps rural Ireland alive. And there's no cheaper way or more cost-effective way of keeping the mountains right and keeping the upland areas right than to keep the farmers there. That has been proven beyond all shadows of doubt. The best way of keeping those areas is to keep the farmer there, and it's by far the most cost-effective way of doing it. And the farmers will do that, and young people will do that, if there is an incentive there to do it. If they can see that, you know, that there's a livelihood to be made from doing it, they will do it. There's no two ways about that.
IFA National Hill Committee Chairman Pat Dunn. Looking at a few items of news of note, well, the Options for Farm Families programme 2015 has been run by Chagas at locations all over the country. Guest speakers who have succeeded in farm diversification will tell their own stories along with Chagas specialists and sector experts who will be on hand to answer your questions and cover a range of topics. For Donegal, the meeting will be held on Wednesday, November the 11th in the Mill Park Hotel in Donegal Town. The EU Commission has invited the IFA to participate on a new reflection group being established in Brussels to examine the future of the sheep meat sector. IFA National Sheep Chairman John Linsky said the new EU group presents a real opportunity to address the shortcomings in the sheep policy area. He explained that the EU group will consist of representative bodies covering sheep production, processing and trade. The group is set to meet in three conference sessions from November until next June. Well, despite reducing levels of TB and resultant savings for the Department of Agriculture, the costs associated with the TB eradication scheme control measures have not been reduced for farmers. According to IFA Animal Health Chairman Bert Stewart, this is unacceptable, and he believes it must be addressed in the budget. He acknowledges that significant progress continues to be made in reducing the levels of TB nationally, and this is resulting in substantial savings for the Department of Agriculture in the TB eradication scheme. However, for the farmers who experience TB restrictions and breakdowns on their farms, the costs and losses associated with the control measures have not reduced and have, in some cases, increased. The budget allocation for the TB eradication scheme has been reduced from in excess of €60 million annually to €35 million last year, which includes €12 to €14 million in EU funding and €5 million in farmers' disease levy contributions, combined with the savings from the discontinuation of brucellosis testing this year. Well, Ireland's representatives at the World Ploughing Contest in Vestbo in Denmark were celebrating this week. Carlo man Eamon Tracy fought off tough competition to win first place for Ireland in the conventional class, and John Whelan from Wexford was in the reversible class. Both seasoned ploughmen, Eamon has represented Ireland on an international level 10 times, and John has competed 7 times in the World Ploughing Contest. Just time for the livestock prices. Cattle prices, steers €3.85 a kilo, heifers €3.95 a kilo, U-grade bulls making €4 a kilo, and R-grade cows €3.65 a kilo. Sheep prices, spring lamb €4.70 a kilo to 22 kilos, and ewes €2.70 a kilo. Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with the Farming Independent, first with the Farming News and Views every Tuesday. Well, the clock has beaten us once again, so that's it for tonight's edition. Thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.